Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
Join us for our weekly broadcast, His Abounding Grace, with Minister Vanessa Williams. That's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. On Wednesday afternoons at 1 p.m., join Reverend Gwendolyn Dixon for the Midday Glory Prayer Line. The dial-in number is 641-715-3580. The access code is 732-499. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you. That's with Pastor Paul Morgan of Chosen Generation Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. On Thursdays, live at 12 noon, join Reverend Pat Randall for Declaring the Finished Work for an hour of worship, exhortation, and prayer. Reverend Ray and friends are here on Friday nights at 7 p.m. with the Joy of the Lord on Friday Night Joy. Sundays at 7 p.m., join Reverend Ray for Bread of Life for a Word in Season. And don't forget our monthly broadcast. First Mondays of every month at 7 p.m., be blessed with the teaching ministry of Apostle Shirley Jones on Lifeline. On third Mondays at 7 p.m., join Evangelist Lewis McElwain for Adoration, a broadcast of worship and ministries on the mission field. Second Saturdays of the month, join Reverend Curtis, Reverend Novena, and Minister Jordana for Bold and Beautiful, a youth and young adult broadcast setting the world on fire with the love of Jesus. All broadcast times are Eastern Standard Time. Hey, family, I want to introduce our newest broadcast that joined us in 2018, The Marriage Take Over the Body of One, hosted by Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson. They will be addressing a wide range of topics that will serve to encourage you and to strengthen your marriage. So remember, that's every third Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, The Marriage Take Over the Body of One.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is in not-
Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. We want to welcome you to the broadcast today. We had to do a couple of quick things. But today I'm excited about the Journey to Better Days with Veronica Burnett and guest Sunita Mitchell. They can talk with a lot of different subjects concerning what people are facing today, what the hurt, the pain, depression, and all that kind of thing. I'm excited about this. These are two women that have been vouched with the Word of God, have been vouched to have a desire to help people. And what we can do at this time, we're just going to I'll turn everything over to Veronica, my co-host. Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much, Reverend Ray. I appreciate the time to be here with you all and to bring to you the journey to better days. And again, I'm Veronica Burnett. I'm a speaker, a life coach, an author, and an advocate for healthy relationships. And my mission is to encourage, empower, and educate people to live their life today. Today we have Sunita Mitchell. I'm going to just read her bio really quick so we can jump right in and she can share all of the valuable nuggets and gems with you all. Sunita is dedicated to helping women overcome personal barriers to achieve peace and walk in their greatness, one powerful step at a time. A loyal wife, mother of four, entrepreneur, author, and a firm believer in the power of God's grace, Sunita openly shares her personal life experiences to encourage and empower women to feel discouraged and broken. Let us welcome Sunita. Hey, Sunita.
Hello.
Hello. Thanks for being with us.
Good.
All right. So let's just jump right in. Tell us a little more about yourself. First of all, you have a lot of titles. The mother of four just like throws me. but you have so many titles. But tell us just a little bit more about who you are and why you do what you do.
Okay, great. So those are awesome titles that I have. Those are the ones that really matter the most, right? Being a wife, a mother. A mother of actually five. I always include my daughter, Anaya. Yeah. So she's a mother of four and an angel baby, right, because she's a major part of our journey. And so some of the things that we do, is I am also a grief recovery specialist, which means that I have been certified through the grief recovery method to help women, men, anyone who has gone through any type of loss. And as we'll discuss the various types of losses outside of just the normal things we talk about, such as the loss of a person, but talking about divorce, moving, graduation, like what I call the good grief, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a coach, and I'm also a premarital coach. So I have different programs that I have to offer people for various things. In order for them to walk in that greatness, they have to take those steps of assessing their lives so that they can become the women, because I really work with women, so the women that God has called them to be.
Wow. I did not know that you've added another layer, premarital coach. I think that's amazing.
Yes.
So tell us about being your experience with being a certified grief recovery method. One of the things I know that you have going on is your mission or your business called Grief Under Grace. Can you tell us how those two work together? And then also you mentioned about your angel baby. I know she has a lot to do with your mission.
Exactly. So in April 26, 2010, we lost our daughter Anaya Simone. We lost her due to premature birth, and so just from that journey of going through our own personal grief and loss, and when I'm saying our, I mean my husband, Antonio Mitchell. We are a blended family, so our world was just really, truly rocked. And God kind of thrust us in the midst of this journey because that's not, you know, no one really wants to, talk about grief. Nobody signs up and say, hey, God, let me suffer here. Like, so we knew that, you know, God had called us to do this ministry, but we just didn't know how. And so I came across the grief recovery method after really losing my mother in 2019. And that really just, the various losses, right, kind of catapulted me into this work. And a friend introduced me to grief recovery method because I wanted to be able to offer our clients and the different families that we came across. We work with the Anaya Project, which started in honor of our daughter, Anaya. I wanted to be able to offer families something substantial to help them walk through their grief. Because we could do a peer-to-peer, just talking, but we really want to be able to offer a program that would help them to be able to resolve and help them to become whole and healing in their healing journey after experiencing loss. So that's pretty much how I came into the grief recovery method, because I had to do it myself, right? So I had to do it when I lost my
Sunita, we can't hear you, babe. Okay, so we're going to have Sunita to call back in. And until then, I'm just going to keep talking to you until she signs back in. And one of the things that she talked about was about the experience she had after losing her mom. And she learned how to be a grief recovery specialist after that time. And so she now reaches out to other families who experience grief in different ways. I know she sat with me and talked with me about her various programs and how she reaches the families and talks to them and gives them solutions and ways to cope with loss. And I know personally, after sitting with her myself and learning from her, I was able to implement some of the tools that she shared with me when I lost my stepdad a few weeks ago. And okay, she's back on, but I want to tell you really quickly, I was able to use some of the tools that she shared with me when I lost my stepdad a few weeks ago, and had it not been for the fact that I learned how to cope, I think I would have gone down a really deep hole of sadness and even depression. And not that it took it away, the things that I learned, not that it took away the pain and the hurt, but I was able to identify what was going on with me and able to express to other people how to help me. So I'm going to stop there. She is back. Sunita, you're back?
Yep. I don't know what happened.
All right. I don't know. But, hey, that's just what happens with with technology.
Right.
We keep going and we bounce back, right?
Exactly.
So you were talking about becoming a grief specialist, and you were talking about the good grief and bad grief. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and what can cause those types of that grief?
So, yeah, so we were talking about I was talking about the good griefs that, because a lot of times and this is all about education, right? So learning that grief is more than just the loss of a person. So when we talk about those good griefs, we're talking about people moving and they wanted to be in a home, you know, you're in your home and then you buy a new home and then you're sad about leaving your home because, you know, you have all these memories here or at your, you know, current home and you're excited, but you're also going into a new environment and that can be stressful and cause sadness for some people. And so we have to learn to identify and process those feelings that we have. And sometimes we always, because some people will say like, oh, well, I'm not sad. You know, I'm not sad. You know, you feel like you have to do something with grief recovery, meaning like if something sad has to happen. But that's not the truth. We have to learn to process our feelings and emotions with actionable steps. So I do commend you because I caught that tail part about you saying that your stepfather had passed away and you were able to utilize some of the tools from my Living Life After Loss presentation. And that's good, you know, And I think that people such as yourself who go, who have, that's the whole point of me doing those workshops, is to be able to give people those tools, but to also to have you and others go even further into the program, because it does go deeper than, I say, the surface level, because we really get into, right, getting into those hard conversations and processing those thoughts and emotions, and that's really what it's about. And it's not even just, like I said, the sadness, but it's also those good memories, the what ifs, the what could have happened, the what might be, you know, especially when you're talking about those good griefs.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying, that good grief. When my daughter and I moved, she was happy about the move, but she was also sad that she was leaving her grandparents. And she said to me, I don't want to go. I want to stay here. And I'm like, but you're going to have more space. You're going to have your own this and your own that. Yeah, that's good, but I want to stay here because this is where everything is that I know. So that good grief is heavy, even with children. You know, we don't think about our kids experiencing grief in some ways. And I experienced the same thing she did when I was 12. And my parents moved from our home in D.C. to our home in Maryland when I was away. And I come home to a new place. I was thrown off. So, but you do work with children, right?
Well, okay, so... we do have a program that focuses on the adults working with their children. So I do not directly work with children, but what the program does is it helps adults be able to help their children. So, for example, COVID has rocked not just the adults' world where they are feeling frustrated and having to do, you know, homeschooling and all of these things, but the children are also facing something that they've never experienced before, and that's being totally online, learning, not having any connection with their friends, already in sometimes very stressful environments anyway, where their only reprieve was school, right? Because not every child has such a happy home, right? And so sometimes the children also had that level of peace from their volatile environments. And so now they're in that, and all of those stressors that are compounded upon these children, they don't have an outlet. And sometimes parents, because maybe we haven't been taught how to process our feelings, so we then turn around and tell our children some of the things that we were told, like, suck it up, get over it, it's not a big deal, this is life. They don't know life. They're seven. Like, our daughters are seven. They don't know life. They've been here for 7 years. Right, so they don't know what you're talking about, right? So they're like, you know, their world is still cartoons, and they're just learning some of these things. And then as you talk about the older children as well, they're still learning, and they still need guidance, which is why the Bible always tells the parent, you have to train your kids. So part of the training is teaching our children how to deal with disappointments, how to deal with the emotions. Don't tell them that it's not that bad, it's, you know, kids have it worse. Well, they're not worried about other kids. They're talking about themselves. They're talking about how this particular life experience is making them feel. So we have to teach them. Otherwise, they become adults who don't know how to process their emotions. And what happens is they become angry emotions, detached adults, I mean, they become unable to express their feelings in a productive way. Or they do what's even worse, which is say nothing and do nothing, and they become these emotionless beings because they don't know how to process, or they become shopaholics because they just learn to replace everything. You know, a pet dies. So we also have a program that focuses on pet loss, because it's like that sometimes when we as children first had our encounter with loss is usually sometimes with our pets, whether it was a goldfish, a lizard that you had at school or something, right? you had that experience. And sometimes as parents and as adults, I won't say just parents because there's guardians and teachers, caregivers, they will just say, well, let's just replace that, right? Let's just go and get another one. There's an episode I saw on the Cosby Show the other day where Bill Cosby, Rudy, his daughter, had lost a goldfish, and his first instinct was to just go and buy another goldfish. But then he had some conversation with some of the other children, and they were like, no, she knows exactly which goldfish is in that bowl. Like, she knows the exact spots. It had to be that particular goldfish, right? And so that's how we are as adults is we tend to tell children to just replace it. Let's just go get another one, and everything is going to be okay. And that's how they become adults who, when they have a hard time or a breakup, right? Let me just get another boyfriend. I'm not going to resolve my feelings for this one or learn from it. I'm just going to go ahead and get another one. Or if I get a divorce, it's going to be okay because I'll just go ahead and get another one, right? I can get another wife. I can get another husband. It's not me. It's them. And so I just, you know, you don't resolve. So you see how it just snowballs from your childhood up into your adults. So that's why it's important for the program that we have when children grieve, helping children with loss, is to try to teach adults how to communicate and help their children when they face those life-changing events in their lives.
Wow. Well, Sunita, you have shared so much just now. I have so many questions.
I'm here for it.
Before I ask the questions, if you all listening have any questions or comments, please dial in at 646-478-0660. That is 646-478-0660. We will be happy to talk to you and answer your questions. Sunita, I'm so glad. Oh, after you dial in, press 1. Remember that. Dial in, press 1, 646-478-0660, and press 1. I'm glad that you mentioned, Sunita, about adults being able to reach their children. And if we don't learn as children, then we turn into these stoic, zombie-like people who don't even know how to address our emotions. Since we're talking about grief and loss, what does it look like, for instance, how can a parent, given that they are still learning or they know, how can a parent or a loved one identify when someone else is experiencing grief or even themselves? Because you know how we do sometimes. We experience it and we're like, okay, that's life. Like you said, that's life. And or in some places, oh, this is just the way it has to be, so I'm just going to keep on going and nothing I can do about it. But what does that grief look like in some people, if you can, you know, explain that to us?
Sure. So naturally, everybody experiences grief differently, right? So there can be some characteristic traits, right? So I'm going to be starting school for a therapist. I'm not a therapist to give you that therapeutic answer that they probably would be able to give you. But from what I've learned from all of my programs, grief can look different for people, meaning that they can withdraw. They can become workaholics, right? They can do self-harm to themselves. They can suddenly have these ideations of suicide, right? Or they can just, like I said, just be super, super duper busy, you know, sometimes like crying. And, of course, just the crying and the, you know, just overwhelmed with emotions and pain. Or it can be anger. It can be like their minds aren't centered, right? And sometimes, even with children, if a person themselves, so going back to our experience with my daughter, Anaya, and sometimes it's not intentional that a parent or a guardian or an adult within that family of loss will identify what how their child is responding to a grief situation. So when we lost Anaya, my husband and I, we have a blended family, so we had two boys. One was 16, one was about seven at the time. And so our 16-year-old, he would play music. He would always be making music and, hey, Mom, listen to this. This is what I made. This is what I want you to come and listen to this new song I just made up or whatever. But I hadn't even noticed that he had stopped playing his music and that he had stopped just even listening to music. Because when I say he walked around with that keyboard all the time, that keyboard was a joint to his hip. I mean, he never went anywhere with it. But because me and my husband were in our own level of grief, we couldn't even see what was happening to our son. And it wasn't until his grandmother called me one day and said, "Hey, Sunita, can I talk to you for a minute?" I said, "Sure." And she said, "Hey, I'm just a little bit concerned about your son, you know, about Keith." And I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Have you noticed he hasn't played his music?" And I said, "You know, no." I was honest, right? Like, no, I didn't. And then when we kept talking, I realized, I said, "You know what? You're right. He hasn't." And she began to bring to my attention that he had asked her, what should he do, because he didn't know what to do because we were so sad. We were so down. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know what to do. He was hurting. He didn't know how to process that. So sometimes it takes somebody coming to you and asking the question, right? So grief, the person who's experiencing the grief may not even realize, because like you mentioned, they're just going on about their day. But sometimes people can pick up that you're doing something that you used to do that you're not doing right now. And so it sometimes takes a person having that brave moment to go to a person and say, "Is everything okay?" Right? And so sometimes, because I brought that up, and, you know, hopefully it makes sense to why I use that little illustration, is because sometimes the person who's experiencing the grief and what it looks like, they may not see it for themselves. Somebody else may see it, and they need to respond, because sometimes the person is just like, hey, when you're grieving, you don't feel like doing things, and you really think people don't notice, right? And so it may be intentional that you stop doing something. It may not be intentional. It's just that you're really just not feeling like doing something. So, like, when I lost my mom, I didn't feel like doing anything. So my husband would come to me and say, "Is everything okay?" Because you're doing things that you would not normally do. I'm really an active person. I like to get up and be busy doing a whole bunch of stuff. But when I lost my mom, I did absolutely nothing. I laid in my bed. I didn't want to do certain things. I didn't really engage. And so he can tell when I'm engaged and when I'm not. And sometimes I don't even realize that I've disengaged, right? So that's why it's hard. That's a kind of tricky question to answer, because it's not something that can be summed up in one sentence, because it looks different for everybody.
I understand completely what you're saying. That part about not wanting to do something or anything, I found myself just laying in my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, I was tired, but it was a different type of tired. It was a different type of just laying in the bed. I did not want to get up. And I would just lay there in my bed and play on my phone or watch something on, you know, my computer or whatever, but not actually being intentional and doing something productive. I completely just shut out. And I'm glad that you mentioned about your grandmother coming to you and talking to you, because it's so important that we pay attention to others around us. We can get so caught up in our own world and doing our own thing that we forget to check on the next person, and especially when they are going through. And I know I mentioned before, I'm so thankful that my mother knows me, because when I start, you know, when I get quiet, because you all know I talk a lot, all a lot, but when I get quiet and when I am just in my room and I'm not busy, because I'm a very busy person, I'm always doing something, she notices quickly when I have stopped doing whatever it is that I normally do. And she's like, hey, you want to come over? Hey, you want to do this? You want to do that? And it's because she pays attention. So I think it's vital that we pay attention to our loved ones, especially when they've gone through something or when you know what their triggers are. You know, because for some it could be going to a wedding after, you know, having a bad divorce. Some could be going to a baby shower after experiencing a loss. Some, like, going to church on certain days because, you know, of a loss. So paying attention and knowing what's going on with your loved one is important. Can you share with us some things that we should refrain from saying to someone else who has experienced loss? I know you mentioned get over it and things like that, but what could we not say and what could we say to help? Because sometimes we just don't know what to say.
Right. So I love that part, the what not to say, right? And sometimes it is very well-meaning when people are trying to say, you know, things that they think is encouraging. And I like that you said sometimes people don't want to go to church, because a lot of times, so pray about it. Okay, like I'm going to start with some of the things that not to say, and then I'll say what you can say. One thing is pray about it, right? Pray about it. Well, yes, but do realize that sometimes people it's not that they don't love God. It's not that they have turned their back on God or they're angry at God, but like sometimes they just don't want to hear you say pray about it. Okay, and they don't necessarily want to hear you give them a whole bunch of scriptures either, right? Sometimes it's just like, well, you know, I will pray for you, you know, or you just say a silent prayer for them, or you don't even have to tell them that you're praying, right? Because, I mean, you could just simply pray for that person. You can just say, you know, hey, God, you know, God understands, or you know, you don't even have to say it, right, at all. Just, you know, if you want to say I'll pray for you, that's fine. But sometimes people they have so many mixed emotions about faith, and because that's actually a loss as well, your loss of faith, your loss of faith in God. Whether you're a Christian, Muslim, whatever you're doing, grief has a way of shaking that up. And so sometimes you just don't want to hear that. And so sometimes if a person says that, don't combat them with, well, you got to remember what the word of the Lord says. Like, you can't don't do that. Just say, okay, I respect your opinion right now for where you are in this journey, on your journey. I respect that. And then you refrain from bringing it up. Right, don't just do it that moment, and then the next time they talk to you or you're emailing them scriptures anyway, despite what they say. Like, just don't do it. Replacing their loss, helping them to say, like, just be strong. Be strong. No, hey, I one thing that I was really was an eye-opener when I went through my grief recovery training was saying this, and this is a common thing that people say, oh, I went through that, right? So I know how you feel. You don't. You don't know how they feel. We could have the exact same experience, but guess what? We will visualize it differently. So you don't know how they feel. You understand the parts, certain parts and elements of their experience, but you do not know how they feel. So we have to refrain from saying, I know how you feel. No, I can say, I can't imagine how that must have been for you, however, like when I experienced it, this was my experience, right? And you don't always have to do that. You don't always have to try to infuse your situation into theirs, but you can just say, I can't imagine, even if you had that experience, you don't have to say, I went through the same thing. You know, depending on the person, they probably already know you went through the same thing, right? So you don't need to make that announcement and assert your feelings, because sometimes that belittles their feelings. And now what happens is when you're trying to make that person feel better, your experience now becomes the thermometer, can become the thermometer of how that person may be viewing their experience. Meaning, if they're really struggling, right, after a divorce, they're really struggling, but you had a divorce and you were like, hey, I couldn't wait to escape, you know, and you're like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for deliverance, right, or whatever. But they're really struggling, and then they're like, well, why am I not that enthusiastic, right? Or she says she experienced the pregnancy loss, but she still kept her faith intact, and, you know, she didn't feel like she accepted what God allowed, right? But I'm struggling, and I'm angry with God, and so is it something wrong with me? So that's why we have to be careful when we infuse our experience onto another person, because in the quiet times of their life, they, not on purpose, will bring back your story and start to compare their experience to your experience or someone else's that they know or read about on social media, right? So they start to be like, well, I'm not crying. So here's another one. A person will say, well, I'm not crying. And another person, they're falling up, you know, they're just completely, like, is there something wrong with me, because how my response is and how their response is differently. So we try to refrain from, I know how you feel, because the truth of the matter is we don't know how they're feeling. We don't know, we can understand that level of shock and emotion, but we do not know how they're feeling. Right? So that was a real wake-up call for me. And then the next one is when we tell people it just takes time. Time is not a healer. We've all heard that. Oh, just give it time. Oh, time, you know, in time. No, it's what we do with the time. What are we going to do with the time to heal? Because so much in our life, we're a very microwavable society. We want to be healed. We want to be healed right now, right? Like, it's like, I want the pain to be gone right now. I don't want the discomfort, so I want it to be gone right now. But just like any medical procedure you have, if you break a bone, your bone is not going to be healed right now. You know what I mean? Like, you got to go through the process. And with grief and loss, you have to go through the process. And it's not comfortable in people, and that's why people don't want to do it, because it causes you to get uncomfortable. But we got to get you uncomfortable so that you can get on the other side of heal. I know you think you don't like your ex-spouse anymore, and I know you think you're over them, and I know you think like you're like could just gag when you think about them, but at the same time, that's still an emotion, right? That's the part right there that has to be healed. Because if you're truly over someone, if you're truly, now the experience doesn't go away, but what we do is we get you to resolve those emotions so that you're not taking baggage into, if you are divorced and you desire to be in a relationship, whether you want to be married again or not, whether you just want to date people, you have to relieve the baggage. If you had a broken friendship, you got to relieve the, you can't be a good friend if your heart is broken over a friendship. If you are disappointed over somebody doing something to you at work, you got to deal with that emotion so that you can be free, not cover it up, but be free.
I hope that everybody who's listening is picking up all of these gems that you are dropping for us. Thank you so much for all of this. I have, oh, wait, before we do that, if you have a question or comment, you can call us at 646-478-0660 and press number 1. Sunita, I have several questions here, okay?
Okay.
The first is about, well, first one is a comment about infusing your feelings into another person's experience. And I've seen it where another person has used a third person's life story or situation and infused it into their loved one's situation. For instance, one person, the third party is divorced, and so they went through it and they bounced back and they're doing well. And then their loved one had, you know, separated and has gone, is going through a process at the same time that, you know, the third party is. But their friend or their parent, whomever, says, you know, this person went through this and they are doing okay right now. Why are you dragging this out? And when that was shared with me, the conversation was shared with me, I was floored because I could not imagine how that would feel. And like you said, it belittles that person's experience. It almost negates how they feel right then and there. And so that leads me to my question or my thought. Why do we run from the process, or why do we run from talking about our grief? I think I know the answers, but I'll let you explain. Why do we run from that process?
Because the process is ugly, right? The process is painful, and we don't like pain. Anything that brings discomfort, we shy away from it, right? And so, and we're scared. Like, we're scared about what we may discover, right? We are scared about what that process may look like, or we have what, we may have preconceived ideas of what may occur. So, for example, I had to take my own advice. I used to tell people, go to therapy. But I had never really myself gone into therapy. And I went like 2 or 3 times, and my therapist was like, girl, that wasn't therapy, right? And so she was like, you got to, you know, you didn't give your, she said, you didn't give yourself the permission to go through the process. Right, you didn't give yourself the opportunity because you. If I, she said, why? You know, we had this conversation, and basically, what I told her was, she started bringing up stuff that she started asking me questions, and when she started asking me questions, and I had to answer these questions, it became so uncomfortable that I was like, I came in to talk about my daughter, and we're talking about all this other stuff, but I didn't allow myself to go through the process, so I cut it off at that time because I was like, oh, I can't do this. Like I cannot do this. And like this was literally maybe 4 to 5 months after I had lost my daughter, and I was like, I cannot do this. This, all these emotions that even in 2 or 3 visits she was bringing up, I simply did not come. I made the appointment, but I never showed up. And so we don't like anything that brings us discomfort. We do it not just in grief and loss, but we do it even when we are talking about God, heal, you know, God, I want this, right? We always pray and we ask God, we got these desires, right? God, you know, you said you give us the desires of the heart, of our heart, right? But at the same time, we don't want to go through the process that God may want to take us through, because sometimes the process is difficult. And it's the same thing when we deal with our grief and emotions. We got to get to the root, and we have to be able to pull those things up so that when you plant those new seeds, your seeds won't get choked out by weeds. And those weeds are the things that's left behind to choke out what's trying, new growth trying to come up, right? And so we don't want to do it because we're afraid. We're afraid, and we don't like discomfort. Those would be the two main things, scared and don't want to deal with. And then I would say also just not knowing what something is, what's going to happen. Like, we want to know everything, right? Like, some people want to know, like, all of what we're going to cover in grief recovery. We don't tell you. You know why? Because we don't want you to try to say, okay, well, I'm going to skip week four or I'm going to skip week five. It's an eight-week program if it's in a group, and it's a seven-week program one-on-one. If I tell you, okay, you're going to have to do X, Y, and Z, and you find X, Y, and Z to be difficult, you're going to say, Sunita, I can't come today, or I'm not going to, or I'm not, I'm going to come late, or I'm going to come late in hopes that I'm going to miss that part, right? Because you know, like, so sometimes if we get uncomfortable and we just don't want to do it, so, yeah.
Wow. I love that you said give yourself permission to go through it. And I think a lot of times we feel like we have to be strong. We feel like, you know, if Big Mama got through it, if Auntie got through it, then I should be able to get through this too. But give yourself permission. And I love that because we give ourselves permission to feel it. We give ourselves permission to express it. We give ourselves permission to go to therapy, seek coaching, seek counseling. Give yourself permission to heal. Like, you don't have to carry this by yourself.
And if I could just say, you had mentioned, we do say, well, my mama got through it, my grandma got through it. But did they? Like, did they get through it, or did they just ignore it? So sometimes we say, like, oh, they got through it. No, they just didn't address it, and they just kept going. That doesn't mean they got through it. It just means that they may not have had the tools or not knowledge, meaning they weren't educated people. What I'm saying is they didn't have the tools or they weren't told that it was okay to go and seek these types of tools, right? To seek dealing with their emotions, because as women, especially black women, we're supposed to be strong, right? We're supposed to be these strong, you know, like nothing, we're supposed to be like steel, nothing's supposed to get to us, right? Because we're black women, we're not supposed to feel anything, and that's what the society says and portrays to our young black girls, that we ain't supposed to let nothing bother us, and we just supposed to just keep going, but nothing takes a beating over and over again without some level of scarring or hurt, right? Nothing can withstand bad experiences and when I'm saying abuse, I'm meaning like not just physical, verbal, domestic violence types of things, but just life happening, different experiences that we're going to go through over and over and over again, and you just pile it up. Eventually, it gets heavy, right? And you can't carry that weight. We're not built. God never said. That's why He says, "Cast your cares on Me," right? We're not built to carry all of these things on our shoulders. That's not what God designed us to do. We were never designed to do that, right? And so we have to learn to get rid of some things, to get some things off of our back. Again, it doesn't mean because you address your experience, doesn't mean that your experience is just going to poof, go away. But what will happen is you'll be able to have those emotions that are attached to that experience resolved. We're not saying that, oh, you're just going to be healed and you're never going to feel the pain of the loss of a loved one. I'm always going to remember my mom. I'm always going to have a strong connection to my mother. I'm never going to forget her. I'm not going to be like, oh, well, let me go out here and just try to find another mother figure to take the place of my mom. No, my mom is my mom, right? There's one mother brought you into this world. Whether you thought she was a good, you had a good experience or not experience or no experience. Those are the things that we get to with grief recovery. What I just said, whether you had an experience, whether you didn't have an experience, whether your experience was not so great, right? We have to resolve the feelings surrounding, when I just use my mother, right, or a mother. You're going to experience those things, whether it was a good experience, no experience, or not so good experience. Because loss is still loss. If you never had an experience with one of your parents, that's a loss. I mean, the loss is not necessarily that they're not there. But when they do pass away, now they're not there again. So we have to deal with that because they weren't there for you in your life. But now that they're gone, they're not there again for you. So you have to process that. So it's so much. It is. I'm sorry.
No, really, I'm so glad that you brought that up because sometimes when you're dealing and going through the process of working through your grief and you're in therapy or counseling or whatever, other things come up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just be transparent. For myself, with my stepdad, yes, I missed him not being in my life. And we had not seen each other in a few years. But then he passed. And then that was another thing I had to deal with. And then some other stuff happened, but it brought up rejection. And
yeah.
Who goes to therapy about grief of a loved one, and then you end up talking about rejection? Those are some things that come up, and those are the uncomfortable feelings that we have to process through. Here's the thing. You can't be afraid of it anymore. And even if you are afraid, do it anyway, because in the end, you'll be healthier, you'll be happier, you'll get to a place of wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that my experience goes away or my thought about all of these things that happen goes away. It doesn't go away, but I don't have to attach those feelings to it, those negative feelings anymore, because I've processed through it and I'm okay now. We're coming to an end, so if you have a question, you still have a little bit of time to dial in at 646-478-0660, press number 1. Sunita, I want you to wrap up with us real quick. One of the things that you talked about in the program with me was about self-care plan, and I hope you don't mind sharing just a little bit of that with us so that our listeners can walk away with something to get started with and then take that on to help their children and their loved ones. Can you share with us just a little bit about your self-care plan and then how to reach you to create their own self-care plan and work through their own processes of grief?
Okay, sure. So short end of the self-care. So with my self-care plan, I did some research and came up with some ways that we can help ourselves as we process our grief. And so one way is to list different categories of your life, meaning whether it is, and you would do it for every part, so like family, you could do it for like family and friends or work-life balance. And what you do is you write down what holidays, what like distractions or your triggers, because triggers are those, for me in our world, we call them STIRBs, which are short-term energy-relieving behaviors, right? These are things that we do for just general relief from something that comes to our mind, something that we see, something that happens that causes us sadness or causes us to, that brings up another experience, I'll say, for a trigger. A trigger is something that brings up another an emotion surrounding a life event that causes us to, our minds to respond. So when you're doing your self-care plan, so for example, I would say, I would list under family life, I would say Mother's Day is coming, right? Mother's Day is coming, and that's very difficult. And, of course, in June is Father's Day, right? So you got these two major holidays, and people are trying to figure out what to do with those days. So what I do is you say Mother's Day would be your activity, would be the event. What would be a distraction or a trigger for you on Mother's Day? And it may be, hey, all the cards, the commercials, the church events, or the, you know, just knowing it's coming. So then you say, well, what am I going to do? Okay, so what is something, so you may say, well, I may, okay, so it's 'cause so many things are coming to my mind, but what you would say is, okay, so for Mother's Day, I'm going, so how am I going to say I'm going to be hurt that day? And so what am I, so my response on that third column, that third column would be, what is my response to the distraction, right? Well, my response to the distraction is that I love my mother, or I miss my mother, or I'm going to plant a flower for my mother, and that's how I'm going to deal with the emotions surrounding Mother's Day.
I love and, that, Sonita.
And then what you do is you take that and you just get a journal. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. It could be regular old journal. And then you would share that with a friend, or if you're married, you just let your spouse know so that they know what you planned on doing. And that provides you a sense of accountability, right? So Tony knew last year, that was the first year without my mom, that I had planned to plant a flower. So he was able to come to me and say, okay, so where are you with that? Like, are you still planning on doing the plant? And if so, what's that plant? So when we start to share it and we make it personal and we make it look like something, you know, you make it visually aesthetic to you, because then you'll look at it, right? And then you practice it. You have to practice your self-care. I know I kind of went through, because I usually go step by step. And so you have this thing, this book, that you will write up, and it will help you as you come across the different things in your life that may be triggers for you. And you may add to it, right? You're not going to do it all in one day. These are things that's going to come up, and you'll be able to look at that thing and say, that quote, that's what's going to happen when that song come on and brings back memories to your when you were married. Well, what's going to happen? What am I going to do when that song come on? Well, when that song come on, I might change the station, or I may bring another thought to my mind about that song, right? Because mm-hmm. we have to practice.
All right. Sonita, really quick, because we have like 1 minute. Give us the best way to reach you so that others can reach out to you and get their self-care plans charted out for them. What's the best way to reach you?
Okay, so to learn more about the grief recovery method or my self-care plan, you can dial 202-410-4202, and you're going to text Under Grace to that number, and that will start the conversation about the self-care plan and my grief recovery method.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So, and do you have a website?
Yeah, or you can go to my website, www.sonitamitchell.com.
Okay, and then can you tell us what's next for Shanita Mitchell, the grief recovery specialist, and everything else that you do. What else do you have to offer that we can follow you and support you?
So you can follow me all across social media as Grief Under Grace. I have my next group coming up in June 3rd. You can find out more about that when you go to the website. But next Saturday, our organization, Anaya's Project, is hosting a poetry night. So if you go to www.anayasproject.org, you can register. We're just asking people to donate any size donation, and that will place you inside the room for our poetry night.
Awesome. You all want to get in on that. I love poetry.
I said that April 24th at 6 o'clock.
April 24th at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is there anything else you want to leave with our audience today? Anything
sure.
else you want to say?
So I just encourage everyone to deal and confront their grief and loss experience. Get the teachings, get the education necessary to help you walk through your grief and loss so that you can be whole, so that you can be able to step into everything that God has for you to do as a healthy individual. No longer hold on to what may be hindering you. Just make that a part of your self-care, is taking a program. You may not want to do therapy right away, so take a grief recovery course, or some other coaching program to help you process your feelings so that you can really be whole and know you've done the work to become a whole and healed person.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Everyone, I want to thank you for joining us tonight for the Journey to Better Days. I'm Veronica Burnett. You can find me at veronicaburnett.com. That's VeronicaBurnett.com. And I have a lot of offerings on there. You can find me there, and you can join my newsletter list when you go to my website, and that is the Better Days newsletter. All right, so I'm going to pray, and Ray can come back on with us, and then we're going to go. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for being with us tonight. Lord, I pray that the information that was shared by Sister Shanita has fallen on fruitful and fertile ground, and that the audience will take it, learn from it, use it, and come out better. God, I just thank you for everyone who is attached to this broadcast, that you increase it, enlarge their territory. I thank you, Lord, for everything. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was awesome. Awesome, awesome. Veronica Burnett and Shanita Mitchell, thank you. Thank God for both. I do want to encourage those that are listening to this particular broadcast, you're listening on When Christians Speak Talk Radio, please feel free to share on social media. This is one of those messages that many of us need to hear about grief. Counseling, please get in contact with Shanita, okay, concerning some of the things that was shared today, all right? You don't have to go through this by yourself. Amen. So God bless. Thank you, ladies. Great job. Veronica, I'm proud of you. Great job. Thank you, Shanita, for joining us. Okay, y'all take care. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.